Amen. Amen. God's got a purpose for you, and I think this is part of that purpose. John chapter 2, verse 13. John chapter 2, verse 13. And the Jews, Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple. And the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. And said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. You can go ahead and be seated. I got to take you back to the tabernacle and to the temple in the Old Testament for just a minute. There was the outer court, there was the inner court, and then there was a Holy of Holies. And if you notice this progression, this happens a lot in Scripture. You'll notice there's thanksgiving, there's praise, and then there's worship. There's the first floor, the second floor, and then there's the upper room. There's a lot of, or the rooftop. There's a lot of progression that goes on in Scripture. So there was an outer court, inner court, Holy of Holies. It's in the Holy of Holies is a place where we usually direct most of our attention. We understand that there was a protocol, a way to get in. Let me say it like this. You just didn't walk into the presence of God. As a matter of fact, it was once a year that one man was allowed to go behind that curtain. And there was so many things that went on for that to happen, but there was something so powerful in that one area, because in that area he said, there will I meet with you at the mercy seat. So behind that curtain was the Shekinah glory of God, the kabod, the weighted glory. God was behind that curtain. And the truth is, the most important thing that we can get to in our life is the presence of God. Let me wake you up. It's amazing to me, what people allow to compete with the presence of God. It's amazing to me that as Aaron, as you begin to sing that last song, I think the first few words was make me a dwelling, or how'd it go? What was the first words? It's okay, man. Sometimes people say, hey, what'd you preach about tonight? And I go, hold on a second. I just want to be a place for you to dwell. I just want to be a place for you to dwell. Simon, we live in a world that has spent a lot of money on tabernacles and temples and shrines and all kinds of things to have religious experiences. But when we read in these scriptures, we find out the main thing wasn't the outer court. The main thing wasn't even what it was made out of. The main thing was it was in that area that God said, I'm going to meet with you. The key is the presence of God. The key in our life is the presence of God. Let me teach you something right now. Make up your mind that you're going to walk in more presence and see if the enemy don't take note of that and come to fight you. Make up your mind, I'm going to hold on by faith and I'm going to fight the fight and see if the enemy don't find a way to try to bring you down, because his goal is to stop you from basking in the presence of an almighty God, because in his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. It's in his presence. It's amazing what we allow to compete and move us out of the presence of God. Preacher told me one time, he said, I hate it. I hate pastoring in the summertime. I said, what's the problem? He said, we got to compete with everything. Vacation, baseball, softball, volleyball. I mean, it goes on and on and on. All I know, man, is if as long as we're in this room, I want to have the presence of God in this place because I need it for when I walk back out the door. I don't know what all I'm competing with, but I know what I personally am competing with, and I need his presence. The temple. This is where we get in trouble sometimes. Because when we read the Bible, there are some words in there that if we don't take time to really look at it, Dustin, we miss the point. Jesus began to talk about the temple. And he said, destroy this temple. And the word there is Haran. And that word means a sacred place. A temple, a sacred place. He said, you destroy this temple, this sacred place. Now, I want you to understand this. That place meant something to him. So much that when he got there, he had a problem with what was going on in the temple. So much of a problem that he just didn't let it go. Man, let me tell you something. There comes a time in a believer's life where you got to get sick and tired of what the devil is doing. Now, you don't have to get mad at people and hate people and use this scripture as an avenue to take out your hate and say, well, Jesus did it, so I'm going to do it. No, but there's coming a point in our lives where we got to get so fed up with what the enemy is doing. I can't hate the addict, but I can hate the addiction because I see something through the addiction that there is a devil that has them bound. I don't know if you've ever heard of righteous indignation, but I think the church needs to get that rose up in their spirit again. Amen. He didn't like what was going on in his father's house. Problem was, there was no ark in that temple. Am I right? The ark had been left out. So there was no ark in that temple. At this time, unlike Solomon's temple or even the tabernacle of Moses, the ark wasn't there, so there was no presence. But it was the fact of this has been set aside and called my father's house, and you're not respecting it. Man, can I get real for just a minute? People have lost their respect for the house of God. They've lost their respect for the people of God. And this bothered him so much that he went and made a whip and ran them all out of there. All of them. Overthrew their tables. And then they look at him and they say, oh, yeah. What sign are you going to show us, see that you do these things? What are you going to show us? What's your point? What's going on here? Jesus said, destroy this temple. Destroy this temple. Haran, temple, Haran. Look it up. The word is Haran. Destroy this temple. He said, but in 3 days, I will raise it up. John wants to clarify something. He said, this he spake of his body. The temple was his body. This is what happens. When we read it, Dustin, we read temple, temple, temple. But when you read it and you break it down, you'll find out it's Haran and it's Naos. And the Naos is different than a sacred place. He said, destroy this Haran. He said, in 3 days, I'll raise it up. This he spake of the naos, which was his body. The temple was his body. This is so simple. But man, if we get this, it'll really help us out. The Haran was a place set apart. It was a place for him to dwell. A place for him to dwell. The naos is the dwelling place. Brother Eddie taught this a long time ago. He said, if you ever want to see me, he said, if you really ever want to, if you want to see me, he said, let me tell you how to find me. He said, go to my house. He said, I might not be there right then, but you hang out there because it's where I live. I will come back to my house. Just stay out there. So now here's the difference. Though Eddie's house, if he's not there, it's a Haran, but it's not a Naos. It's a place for him to dwell, but it's not where he is dwelling. You got to hear me. You got to hear me tonight. Because a lot of times we worry too much about the place where he should be instead of the place where he really is. Sometimes we go back to the same place that we found him a long time ago and thought because we found him there before, he will be there again. But let me tell you something about the Spirit of God. It is always moving, and you don't always find him in the same spot you found him before. But you got to advance and move forward and not go back to a place where he dwelled, but you got to go to the dwelling place. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? Now, every time you read this word temple, you need to look it up and see which one it's talking about. Because you're the temple. You're the temple. You are the temple. Are you the Haran, a place for him to dwell, or are you Naos, his dwelling place? There's a big difference. Oh, we hear this scripture. We hear this scripture a lot when we're talking about obesity or smoking or drinking. What? You're the temple of God. Take care of the temple. Let me tell you something real fast. We can teach on all of those things, but that is not the point of this scripture. This is not your gym etiquette scripture. That I'm the temple of God. As a matter of fact, it's not even about the temple. It's about what dwells in the temple. See, the issue was there was a curtain that separated the Shekinah glory and the outside. What this is, what this temple is, this naos, it's just the curtain. And when you look at the curtain, we put so much emphasis on the curtain that we forget about the purpose is what abides in the curtain. You got to be the dwelling place of God, not just a place for him to dwell, but you got to be that place that when God takes up his abode, God moves through you. You are the naos, the dwelling place of God. Everybody take your hand, right hand, raise it up. Raise your hand up. Or if you're left-handed, you can do your left hand. Lift your hand up real high. Take that hand, I want you to put it on your heart. And this is going to be weird, but I want you to repeat after me. I am the dwelling place of God. I thought that would affect you a little bit different than it did. Some of y'all get more emotional when you're doing the Pledge of Allegiance. You are the dwelling place of God. You're not trying to be, you are. Now, I'd better not get into that because if I ask you how you feel, you don't feel like the dwelling place of God. But he said, you are the dwelling place of God. You are where God dwells. Destroy this temple, destroy this naos. He said, destroy this dwelling place of God. This was Jesus talking, who was the dwelling place of God, who was God in flesh, who was God manifested in flesh. The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelt in him. He said, I am the naos. Destroy this naos. But let me tell you something about this spirit. You can't keep this thing down because this is the spirit of life. It's the pneuma. It's the breath. And where the spirit is, there is liberty. There is power. There is life. Where there was once death, there is now life through the spirit. Can you say amen? Amen. It's the pneuma. It's the breath. But as soon as you become that place, the enemy's going to have problems with you. Abel's name means breath. Say that again. Abel's name means breath. Cain, the accumulator, the possessions. Let me tell you what possessions will do. When it recognizes breath, the accumulation will try to kill out the breath. Oh, are you hearing me? Every person sitting in this room can attest to this. Sometimes you're about accumulating and sometimes you're about breath. Sometimes, years ago, Dustin, this is years ago, me and a buddy of mine was at a music store. I don't think they even have, do they still have those? We used to have to buy our music and put it in a thing. Anyway, it's different now. And I grabbed this CD that I thought, how many people don't know what a CD is? I grabbed a CD that I thought was a Christian CD. And I went out and put it in his truck, and this thing was like $19. And he put it in, and we're going down the road. Guy starts singing. He said, "Half of my blood is Cain's blood." It's like, all right, we're religious. "Half of my blood is Abel's. One eye looks toward heaven. One eye looks for trouble." He went, "That's stupid." And he ejected it, and he threw it out the window. Guess it wasn't religious. But I'm going to tell you what is religious. The fact that you got the breath of God. Amen. And when you are the dwelling place of God and have that breath, there is a spirit that tries to rise up and snuff that spirit out. And you know what's amazing? He'll put anything he can in your way so that you don't operate as the dwelling place of God. Amen. Listen to this. I wrote this down today, and I hope this does something for you. We are not a building housing holiness. We are not a building that contains holiness. Follow me? But we are the holiness that used to need a building. I'm going to let that sink in for a minute. See, we look at it like, hey, I am this vessel. And because I have the Spirit of God in me, I've got the glory of God in me. I've got all that. I am the housing for that. No. Let me tell you something really quick. The only way you are holy is if he made you holy. Can I say that again? Can I say that one more time? You're not the sanctuary that houses holiness. You're the holiness that used to need a natural sanctuary. He has taken up his abode in you. All right, you got a minute? Watch this. Acts 7:41. I got 10 verses to read. Then we may be done. And they made a calf in those days. This is Stephen or Stephen, however you want to say it. And man, he is hammering down. They came at him, and it sounds like he's trying to defend himself because they accused him of blasphemy. You know what he's doing, Dave? He's preaching the truth. And listen to what he said. And they made a calf in those days and offered sacrifice unto the idol and rejoiced in the works of their. Say it again. In their. They rejoiced in the works of their own hands. This is going to get good. Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets. O ye house of Israel, you have offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness. Yea, ye have took up the tabernacle of Molech and the star of your God, Ramphon, figures which ye made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness. Listen to this.
They had the presence of God in that tabernacle in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses that he should not make it according to the fashion that he had seen, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drove out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David, who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him a house. Listen to this. Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands. As saith the prophet, heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hands made all these things? Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so did ye. They took pride in what they had built. They took pride in the work of their hands. They were satisfied. But he said, God does not dwell in a temple made with hands. Let me preach to you for just a minute. Somebody told you that if you got good enough, and if you cleaned it up enough, and if you did some work with your hands, the Spirit would come in. God does not dwell in a temple that you can build. God doesn't dwell in a work that you can perform with your hands. No, this is bigger and greater than you. Oh, come on. Sometimes when we're doing it right and we're living right and everything's going good, we get a little proud of what we're doing. He said, I don't dwell in no temple you built. As a matter of fact, what kind of house are you going to build me? God wasn't asking me to build him a house. He was asking me to let him make me a house. No, not make me a house. Make me a house. To make me a temple, to make me the naos, a place for him to dwell. The glory is not in what I have done. The glory is that the Spirit came in, took up its abode in you, and made you the naos. You didn't make anything out of yourself. The fact is, all you can make is a mess. But God, who is rich in mercy, with his great love, wherewith he loved us, he cleaned me up. He put his Spirit in me. It's not my work. It's not my work. Howbeit, listen to this one more time. The Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, with our handiwork. I don't know if they're recording this or not, but they may have to edit this out. The other night, I decided to listen to a certain type of preaching that I haven't listened to in a long time. I said, I'm going to listen to this. It's been a while. Been doing a lot of different studies. Believe God's taking me something. But I was like, man, I just want to sit down and I'm going to listen to this. About 5 minutes in, I turned it off. I'm going to tell you why. Because it was all about who they were, what they done, their lineage, where they came from, what happened on Azusa Street, and how that they are the people of the Holy Ghost filled people, and this and that, and we built this, and we built that, and we did this, and we did that, and I about gagged out, because I don't care what you build. God don't dwell in what you build. He dwells in what he built, and you are his building. Amen. You are his workmanship. I don't know. Maybe God can be sarcastic. It sounds like it. What kind of house you going to build me? Like, for real. You going to build me a house? Do you not know I made all this? And you going to build me a house? David was looking to make a tabernacle. Solomon built him a house. And oh, what a house. What a house. A lot of gold, Dustin. A lot of cedars. Not a hammer. A lot went on in that place. The queen came over and said, whoa, the half has not been told. Solomon, in all of that building, I never see him in Hebrews chapter 11. And the last thing I read about Solomon is he's off worshiping idol gods, chasing women. all of that wisdom, all of that building, all of that. But he said, what? Know ye not that you are the temple of God? That the Spirit dwells in you? The Spirit dwells in you. It's not your work. It's the work that you allow the Spirit to do in you. So it's not about trying harder. It's about yielding more. And, oh, man, are you hearing me? Revelation 21, 22, I'm done. Watch this. This is awesome. Back those days, man, Eddie, there was temples everywhere. And you went to a major city, there was a temple to somebody. Artemis, Diana. You went to a big city. There was a temple. So now we're looking at the New Jerusalem. And John is looking around. And he noticed something. Did y'all read ahead? Cheaters. He said, and I saw no temple therein. I didn't see any dwelling place for God. Watch this real close. He took the temple from a building. See, how many people have heard about the building of the third temple? Well, here's the way I got this figured out. If they build a temple over there, it'll be the fifth one. Everybody's like, the third temple, the third temple, the third temple. Jesus said, destroy this temple, so he must have been the third temple. And then he said, we're temples, so we must be the fourth temple. Everybody's like, boy, they're going to build that third temple? When I first got saved, the temple was being built. They would bring people in from all over the country and talk about the red heifer and the heifer's ready. The heifer's ready. How long does a heifer live? Huh? 20 some years? Well, that heifer died. Why y'all laughing? I said that heifer died. It's a cow. Tracy's got some shoes. What's that print? She got cow print shoes. And every time she wears them, I say, come on, heifer. Let's go. Eddie, I remember this guy. Maybe you remember too. When I first got in church, they'd bring this guy, Clyde Lott. What? Where was he from? You remember him too, don't you? You old too, ain't you? Clyde Lott come around, talk about that red heifer. She's ready. She's ready. The red heifer's ready. And they keep talking about this third temple. I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus was the third temple. We are the fourth temple. I don't know if it's ever going to get built over or not. In our lifetime. I don't know if there's a red heifer ready right now or not. And let me be honest with you. I'm the temple. I got a work to do because I am his dwelling place right now. But watch this. I saw no temple therein. I saw no dwelling place. No place for God to dwell. No temple. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple. How can I say this? You don't need it when you're all that in a bag of chips. So anybody that dwells there are dwelling in him. See, when we get to heaven, God doesn't need a dwelling place because he is the dwelling place. So these preachers that preach, when you get to heaven, let me tell you what's going to happen. I have heard this, and I'm closing. I heard a preacher preach this. When you get to heaven, he's going to take you around, and there's going to be all these warehouses. and they're going to be full of cars and houses and all these things that he had allotted for you to receive, but because you didn't believe, you never received them. And you're going to be so... This really came out of a guy's mouth. You're going to get to heaven and look in a warehouse and say, oh, I could have had that house on earth, when you got Jesus there. Oh, my honey, that could have been our car. Are you kidding me? You're in heaven? There's not even a temple there, and there's going to be warehouses? No, friend, I'm telling you, the greatest glory of all is the one that dwells in you. You dwell in him. Oh, glory. I need a prayer cloth. I need a prayer cloth before I forget. Somebody help me out right here real quick.